One of the other difficulties in rural areas, and it's true throughout the entire United States, is that we sometimes have lack of access because we just don't have a lot of providers.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the work of the Southern Adirondack Health Initiative. Well, not everyone in our region has regular access to necessary healthcare services, and the nonprofit is hoping to change that. Its latest effort comes at a time when marginalized residents are facing new barriers to care. Karen Weinberg is the group's president. The grassroots organization raises funds for an annual pop-up health clinic and coordinates healthcare resources for those in need. After volunteering at remote area medical volunteer corps clinics around the country, Weinberg decided to organize a clinic in Washington County 4 years ago, gathering dozens of volunteers to administer free medical care. Another clinic is scheduled for this upcoming weekend in Hudson Falls. Weinberg sat down with my colleague, Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Aaron Shello Levine.
The Southern Adirondack Health Initiative is organized just to deal with access to health care for people throughout the Southern Adirondack region. And as many people know, in rural areas, health care is definitely sometimes very hard to access for a variety of reasons. There are quite a few people who are self-employed, and they do not have access to insurance unless they can afford to purchase it for themselves. A lot of people are, they have insurance, but they can't necessarily afford to use it because deductibles are so high. And even though sometimes co-pays at a doctor's visit might be only $50, they may be forced to pay for a lot of medical expenses until they reach a deductible, which could be anywhere up to, say, $5,000 or so. And not a lot of people in our area have that type of disposable income available. One of the other difficulties in rural areas, and it's true throughout the entire United States, is that we sometimes have lack of access because we just don't have a lot of providers. And when people think about healthcare, they think about doctors, medical doctors, and hospitals. But healthcare is also, you know, an optometrist to get your vision tested and to get eyeglasses. It's also a dentist to do a dental exam and determine if your teeth are in good shape. And many insurances that are available don't cover dental at all. Most cover vision, sometimes only the medical portion of vision, but not necessarily glasses. And the other problem is that even though a lot of people are covered by Medicaid, there are a lot of doctors that won't take Medicaid. In the surrounding three counties, there is just one Medicaid provider, and my understanding is the backlog there is well over 1,000 patients.
Do you have a particular memory that really got you hooked into doing this type of work?
I probably have 50, but you don't have time for all of my memories. But just startling ones, like people who, in the very beginning, before I worked on the dental floor, I was helping register patients, and there was a woman, and this was in Baltimore, and there was an older woman in front of me who, you know, when you ask them, you know, what do you really need? And, you know, and she said, I need dental care. And I was like, well, do you have, you know, part of a sequence of questions, you know, do you have this, do you have that? And she was like, oh, I have great health care. I've had a heart transplant. And I thought, and I was like, look at you. You look like you're 100% healthy. And she's like, oh, my health is great because of my heart transplant, but I can't afford to take care of my teeth. And I thought to myself, that heart transplant was probably $250,000, maybe more. And that we provided to her because she needed it. But she has to stand online and wait for charitable dental work because that's the only way she's going to get that.
And how has a need for increased rural health care changed over the time period that you have been working alongside with various RAM clinics or running your own up here?
I'm not sure I have all the data to back up that change, but I do know that we constantly talk to people, patients who appear, and other people who are maybe volunteering at the clinic in that area, and they will constantly say, it's harder to get to a doctor. There's longer waiting lines. That dental care is prohibitively expensive. And even when people have insurance for dental care or Medicaid for dental, getting in the door or finding somebody who will take it is very, very difficult. So I'm not sure how the data would bear out all, you know, those experiences I've had. But the lines don't seem to get shorter. And I know there are a lot of people who don't get to the clinic for a variety of reasons. Sometimes transportation. I had a call just the other day from somebody who is fully disabled and wanted to know and needed dental care and wanted to know how to get to the clinic. And I had to say, you know, we've looked for all sorts of ways of to get people transportation to the clinic, and that's one issue we haven't resolved. So if we have one event a year that we're having trouble getting transportation for people, so to a known location, that means that throughout the other 363 days of the year, that transportation is an issue.
You and a number of other volunteers started hosting a RAMS clinic right up here in the Southern Adirondacks. This will be the fourth year that you guys are running it. What was that first year like?
By the time the fourth year hit, I knew enough to be dangerous. And I think that's, you know, the CEO of RAM connected me with somebody up here who expressed an interest in running a clinic. And we started getting ourselves organized and getting people who would serve with us on RAM calls it a community host group, because RAM only goes where the community invites them. And the community host group has certain responsibilities in terms of identifying a venue, helping recruit providers, both professional providers from the area, as well as general support volunteers. The community host group provides meals for all the volunteers every second they're at the clinic. And a variety and lodging for the volunteers that come from out of state who are core volunteers or RAM staff. So we have to raise money, and we started doing that. We started getting ourselves organized, and then COVID hit. So that sort of slowed things down for a while. It slowed RAM down for a little while they looked at how they could organize clinics despite COVID being rampant. And if I remember correctly, I think between April and maybe the summertime, RAM dispensed of their clinics until they had setups of how they could run them in a safe way. And so I started up right away during COVID, helping out at clinics. And so then once their clinic started up, I said to the other volunteers from our community host group, okay, now it's time for us to organize because they're doing clinics, we can get ours up and running. So that was the first clinic we had in 21 at the Washington County Fairgrounds. It ends up that the fairgrounds was just such a lovely place to have a clinic because there's not one person in this area who goes to the fairgrounds and doesn't feel good. So we thought, oh, you know, it's not gonna feel like it's a place that you're just going to go and get a tooth pulled or, you know, or get a vaccination. You know, this is a place that is always associated with a lot of fun.
What are some of the larger challenges with running this type of clinic in this part of the world? You've been all over the country volunteering at similar clinics, and now you're 4 years into running one in your neck of the woods. What's a little bit different and unique about this space?
Well, I think because we're a pretty rural area and some people, and because RAM is not well known in this part of the country, we are the clinic that's the furthest east and north that RAM has ever gone. And there are more and more clinics now because as an area gets familiar with a clinic, other people want to bring RAM in. So the first was just getting people to understand what a remote area medical clinic is. And a lot of people would say to me, what do you mean I don't have to bring my ID, or I don't have to show my insurance card, or there's nothing to pay? Like, how is that possible? So, you know, a lot of it was convincing people that, yes, this is really as good as it gets as far as, you know, the community coming together and working with another not-for-profit to provide access to health care. And once people are there, they become the biggest, you know, way of promoting the clinic to other people, because they will say, oh my goodness, I was taken, you know, such good care of, and people were so kind, and it was absolutely, you know, just like a flawless experience. You do have to wait online, you know, it's not a Walmart. You can't just drive up, park your car, and walk in the door. But what you get can be literally thousands of dollars worth of health care for your visit.
With the ease of access for this type of clinic, it brings people of all types of backgrounds, as we have discussed. How concerned are you as an organizer of this kind of event with the potential, as we've seen, with ICE enforcements happening all across the country, almost locally, with that type of interaction happening at a clinic where you are encouraging people who don't have healthcare, who may otherwise not have the necessary documents to get good quality healthcare? How concerned are you that ICE may show up at this type of event?
Probably that is a concern that's on the minds of lots of people, not just in healthcare, although in healthcare it is definitely an issue, because when you have people who have serious medical conditions or needs, the fact that they may not come to an appointment or get a service that they need because they're afraid for themselves or their family it goes against every thing that most people who promote healthcare want to, you know, see as part of our healthcare system. So we are concerned at the clinic. We're making sure that everyone who comes to the clinic, whoever they are, wherever they're coming from, whatever language they speak, knows what their rights are when they pull into the parking lot. And we're really hoping that somebody is not scared away by the idea that it could be used as an opportunity for people to be questioned or looked at. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to make it a safe and inviting environment, including we have been to lots of local businesses. We've been to a lot of farms. We've been to a lot of the types of places where people who may feel insecure coming to a clinic are, and we've given out the information, and we've, you know, made it clear that we're going to do everything that we can legally do to make sure that they're protected. And the lucky thing is that once they're inside a clinic and they're inside an examining room, that they can't be approached. So we're hoping that this may not be an opportunity for people to be questioned about why they're in the country and if they're legal.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.